Of the two books that are current, let's start with Tether. A residency at the Sitka Center helped spawn these poems. Can you talk about the residency, the center, and the process of writing them? Because you held on to these pieces for a while.
I did what, sorry?
You held on to them for
a while. Yes. Well, and that's a general thing. I take a long time to... a nice way to put it would be that things ripen. Another way is that I have trouble letting go. it's a little bit of both of those things. But I do tend to worry at things and revise a lot and rethink and let things change. Sitka is at the base of the Cascade Head Nature Conservancy Reserve on the Oregon coast. It's a beautiful headland that's been preserved by the Nature Conservancy. And Sitka was founded by a ceramicist and printmaker, Frank Boyden, and his wife, and Jane, and she's a composer and a math teacher. And they built it, started it. It's been going for probably close to 40 years now, I believe. And it has an unusual focus in that they are interested in the interaction and interplay between art and the environment. So it's the Sitka Center for Art and Ecology. So they, in addition to having visual artists and writers, they also have ecologists and scientists in residence there. During the summer, they have workshops. That's where, like many places, a lot of their income comes in through workshops. But those workshops often involve naturalists as well as artists. My ex-wife, Catherine Keene, who is a printmaker and book artist, was on the board at Sitka and was instrumental in getting a printmaking program going there that's going very strong still. Julia DiMario, who's there every year now. And through that connection, I was able to spend some time there in the spring of 1998, late winter, spring. And so I didn't, my residency wasn't through the normal sort of vetting process. But I was there a total of 5 weeks, split into two parts over the course of a couple of months. And it was a fantastic environment in which to work. I work very well in that kind of circumstance with isolation focus. And it's this extraordinary riparian environment right on the coast. The Salmon River flows into the Pacific there. The confluence is right there. And it seemed as though the entire world was made of water that January and February. And I wrote a lot. I spent a lot of time working on transcribing notebooks. I'm always 10 years behind, at least, you know, if not more. So I spent a lot of time doing that, but I wrote a lot as well. And Tether is a first selection from what I wrote during that time at the coast, back in Portland, at the coast again. And that's, I hope, a manuscript that will come together as a full-length book before too long.
Right now, a chapbook.
Right now, yeah. This is 20-something poems from what would probably be a 100-page book. That would be poems and also prose, journal and reflective prose. I'd like it to be a sort of mixed-genre work, ultimately.
So work that goes back to 1998, and in that time, you know, it has time to ripen. You can look at it and say, are these ideas or thoughts or impulses that I still feel good about? And and those parts that you don't feel good about, you can tweak and deal with and have something that you're happy with. Another thing that flashed through my mind is, you're here in the Northwest for a year and already put in this kind of environment. So you really get a hit of what Cascadia is, what this bioregion is. And you get a little bit of a sense of that in the book. I mean, you're plunged into it immediately.
Right. Well, I hope there is a sense of being immersed in that. I think there's probably also a sense of feeling alien, feeling foreign to it. And that's something that maybe has particular inflections. Well, inevitably has particular inflections in this place, but is has to do with the encounter with the world that's not us, wherever one is. There's always going to be a discomfort and a sense of alienation and an attempt to get past that into a probably a sort of liminal space in which I can hold that and at the same time hold whatever communality I can have with the natural world, you know, however provisional. So that's the space I'm trying to get into through language in different ways, even in that little book.
The fact of feeling alien in a new place and alien in this new environment, that's energy that can be used to good advantage for the poet.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Defining Act is the poem I was referring to in the introduction for Paul Blackburn. Can you read this poem and then tell us maybe a little bit about what Blackburn has meant to you?
Sure. Defining Act for Paul Blackburn. Eyes wide, I stare out the bedroom window. Spruce branches, frantic. Red alders sway discreetly. I must be better off in the dream world. I fight so not to wake to this one. I don't remember. Just open my eyes, and this world returns like a song I can't get out of my head.
That's funny. I thought the poem continued onto the next page.
Oh, really?
And,
yes.
And I didn't.
Well,
know.
No, that's perfect. I'm glad that you did. This book. I'm glad that begins to happen even in this selection. The way that I think of Tether and the way that my work has been going in general for a long time is toward a kind of ongoingness, where even those statements or those songs or those experiences that have a certain degree of coherence are embedded in a flow that gives them, and I suppose you could say this about any book composed as a book, that they're the individual pieces if they are given as such, and then there's some larger context. But the permeability and fluidity of the definition of the pieces is something that is very much part of my experience in the first place, and then something I work to develop and heighten. I was reading in your interview with Nate Mackey, in his talking about the serial poem and the contrast between the well-wrought poem and the serial poem, and find that very interesting. And I have a similar preoccupation, and yet it has individual characteristics that I think maybe are a little different than his concerns. So that's, I'm perfectly happy that you thought that poem continued.
Yeah. I was wondering, well, where does it stop? Because right. The next title is The Miracles, which is a couple of pages past that.
Right.
But still, on the third, what would be the third page of the poem, in the morning, he would sing his dreams, the song uh-huh. quickly dying away as the memory dissolved. And then the guy reading your fortune, or well, maybe right. not reading sure. your fortune, but singing the pattern of the right. mate leaves, which is right. a very interesting notion. This notion of pattern recognition and the creative. The average person might think this person's nuts, but I think it's fascinating, uh-huh. and I think there's something to being able to see what kind of patterns you're. Own resonance leaves in mate leaves and tea leaves or whatever.
Sure, and I think that there's both a, which skipping a few things that I want to come back to in what you were just saying about the poems, but I think that in an image like a reading of tea leaves, let's say, there's two concerns that equally are of interest to me, and one has to do with, as you're describing it, a certain kind of insight into the conditions of one's life, or insight through the literally the material conditions, insight into something immaterial, let's say, or something that goes beyond that. But I'm also very interested in the way in which things function as scores. And the nature of a score, the nature of a text as a utterance versus the text as a score. I think that writing isn't placed in this predicament between the immediacy of utterance and the detached kind of instrumentality of a score. And there are times when I go almost fully in either direction. I'm really taken to one pole of that spectrum. But there are a lot of times when I very deliberately place the poem in an ambiguous place, where some of it feels very much like speech and some of it feels very much like a a pattern, a map, a score for some other experience or some following experience.
Like the list poems in
Flow. Well, there it's very overt, right. You know. And so conduction, that first section, that's that other, there's that physical sense of conduction of heat. And then there's a sense of the conductor conducting. Butch Morris just passed away not that long ago, that notion of conduction, opening up what a conductor might be.